Father, you are our way maker. You are the ultimate promise keeper. Thank you for the promises you've given to us this year. Thank you because you said to us that your promises towards us, they are yes and they are amen. Thank you because you have the capacity to fulfill every promise that you have given to us as a people. Thank you because you're preparing us to receive the promise. Thank you for January. Thank you for February and every single month this year. Thank you for what you're set to do with us this year. Thank you for what you're already doing. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we've prayed. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Please put your beautiful hands together for Jesus. Thank you very much, Inspire. God bless you. Please take your seats. Welcome to church. It's lovely to see all of us in church this morning. It's really great to see you. And I am really excited to be sharing God's word with you this morning. Pastor is in Milton Keynes today, preaching in one of our pastor friends' church called Pastor Shola. So I want you to sit tight and hear God speak to you today. God has been talking through us for a while now, and much more importantly, we have been talking about the whole issue of taking the promise that God has given to us. And we started about 2 weeks ago, we talked about go for more. And then last week, on Friday, we talked about the things that could stop you from getting your more. We talked about how we need to push to make sure that we don't stay on this side of Canaan. And this morning, I want to share with you, in the three services, there will be three different messages, but I really needed you to hear it. And I salute everybody, but I salute all the ladies that were here yesterday and here again this morning, particularly those of you that you know that by this time you are still sleeping. I really salute you. I really, really genuinely do from the depth of my heart. So on all the men that are here, I salute. because if you didn't support them one way or the other, they wouldn't be here, particularly those of them that had to take care of children this morning. So thank you. I wanted us to talk about the things that could stop us from conquering our Canaan. And if I have a theme from Friday through to Saturday, the prayer meeting with the girls, and this message is the things that we need to guard against that want to stop us from conquering our Canaan. But I wanted to talk to us about the things that we need to guard against, we need to watch out for. We need to make sure that they don't stop us. In this first service, I'm going to talk about difficulties or disadvantages. In second service, I'm going to talk about distraction. And in third service, I'm going to talk about delaying. But I wanted to attack that particular topic from different perspective, maybe from what you've known before or not, I don't know. But I was studying this life of a gentleman called Ehud, E-H-U-D. How many of us know that guy in the Bible? Okay, not many people. Yeah, a few of us know him. His life is a very interesting one. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about his life. And I'm going to tell you the problems he had or the challenges he had with his life. And I'm going to tell you how he dealt with it and how he never allowed those things to stop him. And, you know, what God was saying to me, God spoke to me during the course of this last week. He said, but I've already given it because I was praying specifically for the ladies. So I had the list of names of the attendees and I was praying during the course of the week. And God was saying to me, but I've already delivered it. So I went back to look at the book of Joshua again, which says, I have given you this land. I've already delivered it. Begin to take possession. So one more time I had begin to. So I said, okay, if you've delivered it and we're taking possession in the place of prayer, which is what we're doing, and we're taking possession in the place of the word we're hearing and attempting to address and redress things so we make sure that they are happening, what could then be the problem? He then said, what happened to the children of Israel when they got to Canaan? So first of all, some of them said they were not going in, which is what we talked about on Friday. So if we're not here on Friday, please get the message. And then he then said there are some of them that then had their own challenges that is inside the gate. So it's like enemy in the house, enemy in the gate, things that they need to work on or work with or ensure does not stop them from enjoying their promises. And that's what the messages today will be about. So the very first one is dealing with difficulties or dealing with disadvantages. In some situations, we find ourselves disadvantaged. I wanted to tell you a story before I started, but now I started, so let's just get on with it. I'll tell you a story in second service. And there's some circumstances, we find ourselves at disadvantages. And sometimes you think when you are disadvantaged, you need to ignore the fact that you are disadvantaged and just get on with it. It is good to get on with it. I really am a strong believer in dealing with it and getting on with it. But I am also a strong believer in understanding that when there are disadvantages, you acknowledge them and you relate things based on the disadvantage, and then you get the best out of your circumstance in the midst of the disadvantages. And that's what this gentleman Ehud did in a nutshell. You can now go home. So your Bible to the book of Judges chapter 3, and let me show you. I'm going to be teaching us this morning. I think I'm going to be teaching in the three services, but I'm not sure. At least this morning I'm positive I'm going to teach you. So you need to pick a pen, pick a paper, and write this down. Judges chapter 3. If you read with me from verse 12. When it's a long read, I tend to want us to read together. The reason being, I don't want you to get distracted. So I'm going to read one verse, you're going to read the other, because we are reading all the way to verse 30. So let's have the scripture, please. So Judges chapter 3 from verse 12. So I read verse 12, you read verse 13, and we read all the way that way. And the children of Israel again did the evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord strengthened Egon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they have done evil in the sight of the Lord. Then you read. So the children of Israel served Eglon, king of Moab, 18 years. Now Ehud made himself a dagger. It was double-edged and a cubit in length, and he fastened it under his clothes on his right thigh. And when he had finished presenting the tribute, he sent away the people who had carried the tribute. So Ehud came to him. Now he was sitting upstairs in his cool private chambers. Then Ehud said, "I have a message from God for you." So he arose from his seat. Even the hilt went in after the blade, and the fat closed over the blade. I can see the yuckies coming out. All right. And for he did not draw the dagger out of his belly, and his entrails came out. When he had gone out, Eglon's servants came to look, and to their surprise, the doors of the upper room were locked. So they said, "He's probably attending to his needs in the cool chamber." But Ehud had escaped while they delayed, and he had passed beyond the stones But Ehud had escaped while they delayed and passed beyond the stone's image and escaped to Seirah. And then he said to them, "Follow me, for the Lord has delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hands." So they went up down after him. They seized the ford of Jordan leading to Moab, and they did not allow anyone to cross over. Let's read 30 together. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest for 80 years. Father, thank you for your word has life in it and has the ability to change. Father, we have come to you knowing fully well that you have promised us this year. And because you're a promise keeper, we know you fulfill your promise. Jehovah, we ask for grace to know the things we need to deal with and how to deal with them so that we can enjoy the fullness of the benefits you have for us this year. I pray against any form of distraction in the hearts of your people. I pray that when we hear you, we will know you. We will know what we ought to do, and we will do them. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, so if you're squeamish, that story is very interesting. But what I love most about scripture is that they tell you things, every single thing that happened. So it's not a doctored book. It's a book that can doctor our lives. And I want to talk to you about the life of this gentleman simply because his name is Ehud, and he was born as a Benjamite. Who is a Benjamite and what's special about that? What do you need to know about that? The Benjamin or Benjamites are called son of my right hand. But he didn't have a right hand. So you are in a family and they are called, you know, giants. And then I show up. You know, that's a bit of a problem, isn't it? Shall I tell you a quick story? When we were courting, Pastor Eddie and I, when we were friends, when we were dating, I don't know what you call it, when we were something, before we married. So we met in highest institution, as you know, in uni, as you know. So he went home and he said to his mom, "Mom, I'd like you to meet this girl. You will absolutely love her." And the mom said, the girl God told me to marry and I want to marry her. And the mom said, "That's fantastic. But don't go and bring a short girl to this house." So. Moms are so lovely. So he then looked at his mom and said, "What business is it of yours? If she's tall, short, fat or thin?" Of course, by the time I showed up, the mom knew why. So can you imagine my name being called tallest in Pastor Eddie's home? Pastor Eddie is the shortest of his siblings. So you can imagine. So I think the mom was thinking they would disrespect me, which they don't. They are absolutely lovely people. And she just thought, this girl will be able to fight for herself. So don't bring a short girl, but here I am today. And this gentleman was called son of my right hand. But he did not have a right hand. He was from a tribe that was known for something, but he was limited. Limitations happen in life. And limitations can create different reactions in different people. For some people, we have physical limitations. Everybody can see it. For some people, your limitation is not physical. You're perfectly fine. But you are limited in your mind. In your mind, you are a baby. And in your mind, if anybody raises their voice, you remember something that has happened in the past, and you react based on what has happened in the past. That's a limitation. When something happens and it stops you from being the fullness of who you could potentially be, that is a limitation. For some people, our limitation is we have attempted something repeatedly and we just never got on with it. We didn't get where we wanted to get to. And it creates panic and it creates fear. And we stop every time we want to try something else because that thing keeps ringing a bell in our heart. So sometimes it's a psychological limitation. Sometimes it's a physical limitation. Sometimes it's an emotional limitation. And sometimes there are clear-cut limitations. So you need to be tall, and you are now short. It's real. So get on with the fact that you are short instead of being tall. So what do you then do? Rather than Ehud sitting down in a place, feeling sorry for himself, if you want to get taller, you wear heels. If you want to get shorter, you wear flats. It's up to you. Just deal with it, rather than making so much fuss about where you are in life. This gentleman was the one, despite its limitations, that God used to deliver his people. But why? If you will enjoy the fullness of the promises of God for your life, you can't afford to make excuses. Your difficulties are not excuses. They are there. But they are not big enough excuses that will not allow you to live a victorious life. They are not big enough excuses that will not allow you to get the 10 promises that God has given to us this year. Because they are there. We sang the song earlier. He's a way maker. He's a promise keeper. He's a light in our darkness. So let me tell you as well something about Eglon. Just like the devil always does, Eglon is from one of the naughty tribes that was a major, major problem for the children of Israel all through their journeys. And unfortunately for them, the Moabites, unfortunately for the children of Israel, they didn't get rid of these people. So there are some things you have to get rid of. If you don't get rid of them, we'll repeat the same information we're saying now. This is now going to become like an information to you. It will not be a revelation. And what you don't want is for a year of his promise to go through. You know, if you have a promissory note, if you have, if somebody gave me a gift for Christmas and it wasn't the right it wasn't correct. It wasn't right. It was a pair of shoes, but it was low. When they are too low, I feel very uncomfortable in them. So I took it back to the shop with the gift receipt that was in it. And when I got to the shop, guess what? They said, the gift receipt date has expired. You have to take it now. So I had to take it back. The fact that there is a gift receipt or a promissory note does not mean that you enjoy the promise. If you don't abide by the condition, apparently the condition says within 15 days. Me being me, I didn't look at it, number one. Number two, I hate going to the shops. So I didn't go to Blue Water. It's my first time going to Blue Water, I think, on Friday this year. Because it's just not me. So I thought, oh, please, it can never be before the end of the month. So anything I want to take. So everything I needed to take, I packed and I took. Of course, I go every single place I went to. Oh, sorry, too late. Sorry, too late. Sorry, too late. Oh, that's all right. Sorry, I'll take it back home. There's got to be somebody that can enjoy it if I can't. So what I'm trying to say is there could be a promise that is delivered to you, that is given to you, but it is really up to you to look at the conditions of the promise. If you don't look at the conditions of the promise, you can miss out on the promise that God has for you. But I don't want you to miss out on the promise that God has for you. And that's why I'm saying we need to deal with some things inclusive of limitations. I don't know what your limitations are or what your weaknesses are. So I'm going to talk about his weakness, which I've mentioned to you. But the enemy, the Moabites, they took a place called the Palm City or the City of Palms. The City of Palms means something to the Israelites. It's actually Jericho. Number one, it's part of the land that God has given to Benjamin. So they took what belonged to this gentleman. They took his promise. They sat in the place of his promise. It's also Jericho, which is the first place God gave the children of Israel victory in. So it was a very significant town. It's not the kind of place that you just, all right, they've taken down, you can have it. You know, all right, it's only one pair of shoes, it's not 10. It's only one, you know, somebody says, oh, the reason why people have two children is just in case one dies. I say, can a child replace the other? So it's not, just what I mean. So it is not just the kind of thing that you say, well, let it go. Oh, it's just one of those cities. It's just one of those little towns. It's insignificant. The City of Palms was very significant. And when Eglon took it, alongside the Moabite, the Bible says that God allowed them. If you look at that scripture in verse 12, and the children of Israel again did evil in the eyes of the Lord, so the Lord strengthened. God can strengthen the enemy to take something that you don't take charge of. God is the one that strengthened them. It wasn't the devil. So sometimes not receiving the promise has nothing to do with the devil being after your destiny. It's not the devil sometimes. But when Eglon was going to take a place, it took a place of significance. Significance, the place of their first victory. The place that God delivered into their hands. I said, well, I'm here now. You can't have it. But God raised the man. And the man that God raised is a man that is a weak man. But he wasn't just weak. I was saying, why did this gentleman, why did he win such a battle? I discovered that his private victory led to his public victory. His private victory led to his public victory, which then led to the prolonged victory of the children of Israel. So if you're going to win this year, if you're going to experience the promises this year, you've got to deal with your private life. It will spill over into the promise of your public life. And will spill over into a prolonged, successful year for you. But let's start with the private life. So he's weak, we know he's weak. But he prepared a weapon. He had a weapon. If you look at that scripture, he said he decided to sit down and have a meeting with the king. God gave him the wisdom. And I always say to people, when we are fasting, this is a great time for you to know the wisdom to attack every single area of your life, every single area that you need a distinctive result in. So if I were you, I would do what he did. He sat down and he prepared a two-edged sword. What is that? The Bible says that the word of God is like a two-edged sword. That gentleman, during the course of his preparation, which is what we are doing now, we are all just preparing to take off. We haven't taken off. We will take off after the fast. Some of us have been experiencing testimonies and miracles this month. It is good. But you will just imagine. You can just imagine what it will be after the fast. We haven't taken off. We're still taxiing. But this gentleman, despite his weakness, decided to prepare his own weapon. What weapon are you going to use when the devil starts showing you your weaknesses? What weapon are you going to use when difficulties come? Because some of these things, they are there. Oh, they don't promote people past this stage and this grade. beyond these years. I've spent only 5 years and I cannot. Some difficulties, they stare you in the face. The other day, I was watching an award and they gave an Oscar award. Is it Oscar or BAFTA? One of the two, to a comedian who is a deaf lady. And she's a comedian to the hearing. She got an award and she can't talk. But she makes all of us laugh that can talk. How does that work? You would have thought that is enough to say, oh me, why was I born this way? Why was I, why? All this, why is this like this? I'm not happy about this. Because if I had been, if only I had been a few more years old, if only I didn't take this turn in life, if only I was not like this. Now you're here. Get a strategy. Ehud was here. He could sit down there and be saying, if only, and God would never have used him. But personally, he got a weapon. The weapon was the word of God. The word of God can deal with any limitation. It doesn't matter how great it is. If you really genuinely want to experience a lot of victory this year, you've got to befriend the word of God. This guy sat down and he prepared his sword. It said, the Bible says something here. It says, now Ehud, verse 16. Now Ehud made himself a dagger. It was double-edged, a cubit in length, and he fastened it to his clothes on his thigh. What's very important to note there, he made himself. Nobody made it for him. He did not get someone to go and make him a dagger. Because if he had, they would have said, what do you want to use the dagger for? He would have either needed to lie or needed to do something. So he decided to make himself a dagger. Don't wait for any pastor to make you a dagger this year. Don't wait for anybody. Don't wait for any husband. Don't wait for any father, any mother. Some people were so used to our moms being the one hearing God for us. Don't do that. This year, make yourself a dagger. Make yourself an instrument, a weapon. What are you struggling with? What is the limitation? If it is your health, sit down. Sit down and ask yourself. I always say to people, if you struggle in an area and you eat three times a day and you don't get a scripture that you will repeat three times every day on that issue, you are not serious yet. If that issue is really big and you can take your antibiotics every 6 hours, without missing it, including waking up at night to have it sometimes. That means four times a day. And maybe you eat three times a day. And you don't have at least four scriptures every day that you repeat every time you put any meal in your mouth to conquer and attack that situation. That situation is not serious yet. Because let me tell you, the truth of the matter is, even the devil responds to the double-edged sword. The devil flee. When you use the double-edged sword, I want you to take possession of everything God has in store for you this year, but you've got to win your private life. You've got to win, and you to win in your private life must start with a sword, the double-edged sword. The beauty of his difficulty was this. He didn't have a left hand. He didn't have a right hand. Usually, when people are going into the king's palace in those days, they check their right side to be sure that there is no dagger there or nothing that can harm the king. So that same thing he did not have became a vehicle of advantage for what he needed to get. So because he didn't have a right hand, by the time he finished preparing his dagger, guess where he put it? On the left side. That thing you have is enough. The one you don't have, you don't need. So where you are at now with the thing you have, what are you going to do to achieve God's promise? So he got the dagger ready, and he put it on the side, and he was able to get into the king's palace. He was checked like everybody was checked, but they checked only the right side. Have I told you the story of It's All Good before? Have I? I must have in this church. You know, I'll tell you that story very quickly. There is a gentleman that was a servant to a king, and every time anything happens, his statement is always, it's all good, it's all good. So when somebody does a good thing, it's all good. When it looks bad, it's all good. And on this particular day, he went shooting with the king. And when they got into, so they with their bow and arrow, not a gun. And when they got into the field, he hit the king. And the king had a massive bleed. From the bleeding, they had to amputate the king's hand. And all the way, he kept saying, it's all good. It's all good. The king was really angry. Put him in jail and say, what is good about you making me lose a hand? That is not good. It is not a good thing. Anyway, when the king's hands were healed, so the king lost his left hand. When the king's left hand was healed, he went back shooting. But when he went back with another person, he got captured. He got captured by the enemy, and they said they were going to eat him because they were carnivorous people. They said they were really going to eat him and have him for breakfast. And then they looked at the king and realized he did not have the left hand. And they said, oh, if the body is not complete with left and right hand, we can't eat such a person. Let him go. All of a sudden, that thing that was a problem now became a blessing. That thing you're looking at as a limitation, it's a blessing. The question is, what are you going to do with it now? That thing you're looking at as that is stopping you from doing what you need to do. So where you are at now, what are you going to do? Because you are here now. If you are here now and you are constantly looking back and say, if only God has not brought us out of, if only God has not put us in, if only God has not, you will never progress. This year, you won't enjoy the promise. This promise this year is not based on if only. It is based on dealing with the things that could stop you from entering the fullness of what God has for you. This gentleman had a weakness. This gentleman had a weapon. This gentleman also had a wisdom. When he got in there, that's the third thing. He said to them, I have a message from God. And when I first read it, I said, well, why did he lie? But he didn't lie. God called him and told him to go and deliver his people. God did not tell him how to. Did you see that? When God gives you an assignment, he knows your weakness. He knows you're not the most perfect person around, but he chose you anyway. And then he tells you to do something. But you say, but God, you see, I could have if only I had two hands. I would have had the right hand to attack this guy and the left hand to do what I feel like doing. However, I have only one. I could have. But despite that, he sat down. He walked a wisdom. On the back of every single time we fast, God gives a wisdom. God will give you wisdom. If you will win your own personal battle, you've got to have your weapon, which is the word of God. You've got to have a wisdom, irrespective of your weaknesses. You've got to. If you don't, you will be limited this year. If you don't, I'll be praying the same prayer with you in December that I prayed in January. That's not good. Some of us have sat down in the avenue of sympathy so long. Everybody sympathizes with you because of the challenge. But everybody could have been sympathizing with Ehud, but that by the time God called him to do something, God, you see, if only this and this had not happened to me, that and that would not happen. Something happened recently. So my younger brother was ill. And he was ill last year. And then God healed him. And so I asked him a question. I said, I barely talk about my brother because I have only one. It's my sisters, they are very dramatic, so I talk about them a lot. I said, so what's your plan? He said, well, Bolanle, you don't understand. Because I said, stop. First of all, we set up one WhatsApp we called the girls only. We left him out of it. I said, am I being harsh if I ask this question? Because I don't believe in using any challenge as an excuse. So some said yes, some said no. Some stayed in the middle with me, so I decided to go for it. Then I left them to it. Then one of them came to report him on the girl's WhatsApp. I said something in my language like, God has caught you. I just said, God has caught you, you know? It doesn't make sense in English. That is, well, it's your business, it's not my business, that's what it means. But it's really potent in my language, and I left it. And then, you know, after that, I then called. I then went to the family page, which now includes my brother. I said, by the way, what are you now going to do? We cannot afford to look at 2015 because we're now in 2017. What are you now going to do about this, that, and the other? So he talked about so many other things. He didn't address the issue. 2 days later, I said, I'm not leaving this issue. These are the 7 questions that I've asked, and you must answer them. And then another sister would drop in and say, because I said, stop, I'm not talking to you. And as God will have you, I'm older than all of them. He's my immediate younger brother. So by the 4th time I asked, they knew I wasn't going to let it go. So he then sat down. Would you believe just because somebody was prodding him, he then came with a wise way of managing the situation at hand, which he would never have done. Sometimes your limitation has become such an excuse. Everybody feels sorry for you, and you feel so sorry for yourself, you don't do anything again. Don't do that this year. Otherwise, by December, we'll be singing the same song we sang in January. That's not the point of fasting. What is the point of fasting if you're not going to do anything tangible with the fast? You might as well just be eating now. What is the point of fasting if you're not going to ask God for the wisdom to deal with the matter at hand? So, I am where I am right now. Jehovah, what is the wisdom to excel where I am? when we were in Cyprus, I was not allowed to do any 9-to-5 job because I was on a visa that was attached to my husband that was working. But I knew that I was not called to just sit down and do nothing. So I said, well, I have now learned how to do something while I was in Vassos's firm. There was something I learned to do because a typical Cypriot is a very good cleaner. A typical Cypriot is a fantastic cleaner. They clean every day. I mean, not clean like we clean. They go to work, they come back, they carry every sofa out every day. I don't know what the problem is, but that's the way they clean. And if you clean for them, they come, they check the lintel, they go here, and they do this to find out. And everywhere is white. Can you see my house? Everywhere in Cyprus is white. Everybody paints their home internally white. So when someone comes, they go to the lights, they go to the lintel, they do that to be sure that you have cleaned well. And I learned to do that while I was in Vassos's farm. So as pastor was working as a farmer, I was working as a cleaner. So when God moved us to the city, I had a choice of saying, well, this is the salary we have now, let's stick to it and stay within it. Or these are my certificates. Or if only I had papers to be able to do X, Y, Z. So I said, well, I have two hands, I have two legs. I have learned to clean the Cypriot way. Ladies and gentlemen, I started a cleaning business. If I knew what I know now about business, probably we would never have left Cyprus, so I'm glad we did it. So I started cleaning. I became a cleaning lady. One person was referring me to the other. By the time I finished, I did not have any time in the day. We were making double the salary pastor was making, working his 9-to-5 on cleaning. Some other people that had husbands, the only ones that had visa, never did anything. Oh, if only I could work. I'm an accountant. If only I could get an office job. If only. Stop this if only. Because there is a wisdom for where you are at now. God wants me to tell you there is a wisdom that will make this same place you are at your Goshen. Everywhere you are is Goshen. Until God moves you to another place. He made Cyprus great for us. We went like every other immigrant. By the time we left that country, we're driving two cars. Nobody that I know that is a foreigner, because there it's just the way their own system works in that country, was able to do that. But as long as you sit and keep feeling sorry for yourself, as long as you sit and keep taking a look at your limitations and not the wisdom that your God will deliver into your hands on the back of this fast, you will never do anything great. So Ehud went with the wisdom that God has delivered to him. I said, I want to have a private chat with this guy. Does that sound like one of the first scenes in Mr. and Mrs. Smith? And he goes, I need to see you. And locked the door. And that got the man. Too much movie. But you know what happened though? He did it. And he escaped. It really feels like a movie. It doesn't feel like the Bible. And he escaped. And people were waiting outside, thinking they're still having a private chat. A wisdom was delivered to his hand for a man that didn't have the capability to do what everybody that had more capability could do. Could not do. People had capability. People had, they had the brain, they had the stature, they had everything complete. They were not able to deliver on. Yet, a man that was seemingly looked at like he was handicapped was able to more than deliver on what everybody needed. This gentleman, he had a weapon. He prepared his weapon himself. You need a weapon this year. If you're going to overcome your limitations or your difficulties, you need a weapon this year. You got to get your weapon, and it's in the word of God. He made it himself. Don't let anybody make it for you. I say to people, if I will give you a word of instruction, it is get 7 scripture. One that you repeat every single day, 7 days a week, until that thing is delivered. We had 2 children when they were younger. So we literally raised Asha in the cow farm. And it was very, personally, I found it very easy to raise. If you know me, I don't like stress. I don't do trouble. I'm quite easygoing. When I was younger, my siblings thought I would never have a child because I just don't do stress in any way. So as far as I was concerned, after we've had him, we're there. It's enough. You know, at the beginning, I said, I'm going to have 4. Because my mom and dad had 6. My parents-in-law had 8. Come on, 4. Then after I got pregnant with Asha, I said, I want 1. Only 1. Anyway, so we had Asha. And it was so, genuinely, it was easy to raise. It was only, we're in a room. Outside of the room is a cow farm. So there was no, don't touch that wall. There's no wall to touch. There was no, don't write there, don't write. There's nothing to write anyway. So all of those challenges that people tend to have, I never had them. When you have too much space, so if you say sit down there, shall I sit down? Stand up there, shall I stand up? He never gave me a reason to say something twice. Which is great. And then we had another one. And then this time around, we had more. So we had more than one room. This kid would, don't move this, she will move it, and then look at you to see what you're going to do. I thought, what is this? Because that was not my previous experience. And because people say, oh, if you have a boy, it's hard work. And it wasn't hard work. So why is the girl now supposedly trying to be hard work? If you say, sit down, she looks at you, sits, and then the moment you turn and you look back, she stood. What is this? I don't like this. This is not me. It's not what I bargained for. It's not what I desire. So I got a scripture, and I started every day. When she's sleeping, I'm reading on her. When she's awake, I'm telling her. I am telling her. She couldn't hear. She was only one. I was constantly telling her that you are the blessing of the Lord. They make rich, they had no sorrow. You will not stress me because I don't like stress. For me, stress means sorrow. I don't like sorrow. The children are a blessing of the Lord. You are a blessing. You make this house blessed. You will be here blessed. When you go, we will still be blessed. So I kept saying what I desired to see. Do you know I said it so much? It was not. I don't think it was up to a year before the kids changed. What does a one-year-old or two-year-old really hear? But she changed. So I know the word of God works. And it doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter how big the problem. It doesn't matter how small the problem. When I say, people are like, oh, please, it's not a big deal. True. But it was a big deal for me. Because I'd rather really actually spend that time studying the word than running after a child. I don't want to run. So you sit down there. Mommy's about to pray now. So when I finish praying, they stand up. We all stand up. You say amen. The other one was saying amen before. So why are you running around? I don't want to open my eyes when I'm praying. Sit down. But, you know, I'm just talking about a little challenge in my own life versus it could be a big challenge. And I've faced big ones, but it's the same way. It's the same principle. You have a challenge. You have a situation that you don't like. It's not whether it's working or not. You don't like it. It's not how God ordained it. The children of Israel could have let it go. God is the one that strengthened Eglon against them. But Ehud decided to prepare a weapon. Ehud decided to get a wisdom, and he went into warfare. If you see what he did at the back of that, he went from, if you read that same scripture, and I'm going to end with that. So his private life led to their public victory, basically. That's where I'm going. This year, if anybody is going to celebrate anything with you, your private life, your private word life, your private wisdom life, despite your weaknesses, will lead to public victory in the place of warfare. See what the Bible said he did from verse 3. In chapter 3. And after he escaped, 26, but Ehud had escaped while they delayed, and he passed beyond the stones and the images and escaped into Sarah. And it happened when he arrived that he blew a trumpet. Trumpets are meant to be blown either for war or for rejoicing. He blew a trumpet, and everybody came in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mountain, and then he led them. And he said to them, follow me, for the Lord has delivered your enemies, the Moabite, into your hand. So they went down after them, and they seized the ford of Jordan, leading to Moab, and they did not allow anyone to cross. And at that time, they killed 10,000 people. And guess what happened to them? Verse 30, so Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest. God can give you rest. God can give you rest. I want you to rise to your feet, but your private life, your private word life, your private wisdom life, in the midst of your weaknesses, is what will determine how much of rest you enjoy this year, or the public victory. What he did, he went to war. He carried the people of God. After God has given him that wisdom, he carried the people of God, and they went all out to war, and they killed 10,000 people in one day because God was with them and because they allowed God to use them. Ehud allowed God to use him. He was able to lead God's people into God's mind for them. Lift your hands to heaven and say, God, despite my weaknesses, Jehovah, I pray today, no more excuses. No more excuses. Despite my limitation will not limit me. In the name of Jesus. Come on, pray for yourself that my limitation will not limit me. In the name of Jesus. Father, give me a word. That's the first thing he did. He had a weapon. Give me a word. Give me a word to attack this issue. Give me a word to address these circumstances. Bible says that he made the world by the word of his power. It was through his word that he made the world. So the world responds to the word of God. The Bible also says he sustains the world by the word of his power. So you can create with the word of God. You can be sustained with the word of God. Pray for yourself that this year, give me a word. My own word watchword for the year, my word for the year. Everyone in my home gets a word for the year. We get a word from church for the year, and then I insist that my children go and get a word for the year. What is God saying for you this year? God gave me a word. God gave Asher a word separately. God gave Bethel a word separately. God gave Pastor Eddie a word separately. Believe it or not, all the four words are exactly the same thing in different parts of the Bible. God can do it in your home and beyond. Pray for yourself. Say, God, give me a word. Then after God has given you a word, ask Lord, when you give me the word, give me wisdom. Let this fasting period not end before I begin to release and display the wisdom of God in every single thing I do in the name of Jesus. Father, give me a wisdom. There is always a wise way. Every challenge has a wise way of solving them. Every challenge has a way of solving them. Ask the Lord, God, give me wisdom to be able to address every single challenge that will come my way this year in the name of Jesus. The guy used his weapon, he used his wisdom, and then they went to warfare. Ask the Lord that, Lord, when warfare time comes this year, I will not shrink. I will not stop in the name of Jesus. I will deal with every form of limitation. I will overcome them in the name of Jesus. This year, no difficulty will stop me from entering into my kingdom and enjoying the promises of God. In Jesus' name we've prayed. In Jesus' name we've prayed. If limitation could not stop Ehud, it will not stop you this year in Jesus' name. If difficulties could not stop the people of God, it will not stop you this year in Jesus' name. God will do you good this year in Jesus' precious name.